At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
How many victories had God given David to this point? And he has one guy comes against him and he runs. I don't know what your fear is. You can sin and a shout on a Sunday. You can read your Bible every day. You can go on a missions trip for a month. But I guarantee you, when the thing that brings you fear, you'll make bad choices. I guarantee it. I met with someone this week who's on oxygen, and their great fear is dying. Then when he's brought before Akesh, his court reminds Akesh, wait, before you let this guy in here, do you remember this song, everybody? It was in the top 40. Saul kills his thousands, David. I mean, come on. They're singing it in Israel, but they hear about it in Philistine. They hear about it in Gath. Wait a minute. Isn't it that guy? And David now goes, uh-oh. And it says he was greatly afraid of King Akish. Fear. So he decides to feign being a crazy man. Pleaded the insanity thing, I guess. All right. Now, lion's what got him in this mess. Fear is what got him in this mess. And so now he decides that he's going to ask this crazy man. It gets him free. I mean, it does do that. It works. King Akish throws him out of the city. And so being expelled from Gath, he heads for, if the thing will stay on, to Adullam. But there's something that strikes me funny here. If you read Psalms 56 and the psalm I read at the beginning of church today, Psalms 34, both of those are written at this time. Mister, I'm going to lie to cover myself, to get some food. I'm going to lie out of fear. I'm going to act like a crazy man, and I'm going to be on the run. And he writes Psalms 56 and Psalm 34. I would suggest to you, along the way, David has an epiphany because he has to travel through what? The Valley of Elah. What happened there? Come on, people. Particularly this little bitty section right in here. That's where David faced Goliath. Here he is. He's on the run. He's in fear of man. And it just by circumstance, because God couldn't be in control of that, he flees through the valley where he remembers a great victory. While he's carrying Goliath's sword, which he got by lying. God can't be sovereign over a lie, can he? Humbled before God, he pens Psalms 56. So that is where we're going next. So as we go now, rest of the David, and we run into the Psalms that apply to that time period, I will take the time to address them in the context of the time period, okay? Psalm 56, and here's how it starts. Up in the superscription at the top, you've seen these in many of the Psalms. For the directive music, according to another song called The Dove of Distinct Oaks, David, a miktam, which is a musical term, when the Philistines had seized him at Gath. So he's obviously not writing it while he's sitting there. He had to write it after they've seized him and he's gone. Here's what he starts. Be gracious to me, O God. Give me more than I've earned through this process, Lord. Don't give me what I have earned during this time. For man troubles or tramples on me. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. And when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Now listen to the next part. In God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What's he basing his trust in God on? God's word. What can mere man do to me? All day long, they distort my words. All their thoughts against me for evil. They attack, they lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. This is what's called the precatory psalm when he says, go get the bad guys. Okay. In anger, put down those peoples, O God. You have taken into account, get this, my wanderings. Let me put it a way you might get it. He's taken into my prodigal. You've taken into account my wanderings, my tears you even have in a bottle. Now get this, are they not in your book? What book? We talked about it last week, Psalms 139, verse 16. All the days of my life are written in your book before any one of them ever happened. Wait a minute, this isn't a surprise to you, God. You were even there when I'm a-running. Then my enemies will turn back. Wait a minute. And then my enemies will turn back, and the day when I call, this I know. Now watch his certainty. See, this I know. That God is for me. Based on what? How does he know that? His word. What word in particular in David's case? That remember, he forgot about last time. We talked about last time. This, you will be king of Israel. You know what that means? They can't kill you. He'd forgotten the word of God. He looked at his circumstances, let fear overwhelm him, and he went through a series of lies, mistakes, and struggles. But when he says, then my enemies will turn back, when I know that you're for me, when you know my wandering, wait a minute, did Saul stop pursuing him at this point? No. I believe he's talking about another enemy, that fear that was chasing him everywhere. Next line, verse 10. In God, oh, here it is again. He said it twice. What's that tell us about Hebrew when they say it twice? Yeah, he's important. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. That means in this passage, it's three times. His word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. Because of the word of God, I won't be afraid. What can man do to me? Ooh, said that again, didn't he? Now listen to this. Your vows. Whose vows? God's vows are binding on me, he says. You made a statement, God, and that binds me. That means I have a destiny that you've promised, and I'm stuck with that, if I can say it like that. Oh God, I will render thank offerings to you. Thankful for what? Hiding in a cave? No, for the word. God's word is what's given him confidence. For you have delivered my soul from death. Okay, I understand that practical part, I guess, but you notice he didn't say you delivered my body from death. What's your soul? Mind, will, and emotions from death. Indeed, my feet from stumbling. Did you catch that? Let me put it another. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Yeah, he said, wait a minute. You are now preventing me from stumbling again when I remember your word. The death that was in my emotions, you've delivered me from. So that. Why? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. He's delivered. He's delivered by knowledge of the word of God. He's taught three times. This is the thing that I'm praising here, is God and his word. I have trust in God because I have his word. Well, wait a minute. Those two are unbreakable. Those two are infallible. Those two are eternal. For the grass withers, right? The flowers fade, but the word of God lasts forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. See, on this journey, David came to see his problem as he was fearing man rather than fearing God. He now has a renewed trust, fear of God. Isn't that weird that the fear of God would make you trust him? Maybe we'll talk about that. David now realized that mere man can do nothing to him. And the word of God is binding. It can't, that can't take place. But that isn't there because God said it. He understands this truth, that his soul was delivered from death. His feet were from stumbling. So he can walk with God in this life. But in that cave, it doesn't stop there. In that cave. Now if we go to Psalms 34, which you heard me read earlier, here's how it begins. It's superscript. Psalm of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. So along the way, I feel that he's going, as he's going through that valley, that's right, you gave me word a long time ago. I see what you did with Goliath and his brothers. And he has this thing, I feared man and not you. I haven't trusted in your word. After he goes through that humbling, broken process is where he writes, I believe, Psalms 34. And I know I read it at the beginning of service, but I will break it down a little bit, not the whole thing for time, but I'll break it down a little bit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my, blessed. Anybody know what blessed means? Bless actually has its root in to kneel. When you bless the Lord, you're saying, I will kneel before you. What does that represent? I will honor you, God. I have a fear of you, like if you walked into a king's presence, right? And you make sure you bow lower than the king because he's the one that has the right to take your head off. I'll say it like that. We have lost the fear of God in our culture. Because we don't talk about the holiness of God. All we ever do is talk about the love of God, but that's, I'll move on. But it says then, so bless the Lord, honor him, kneel before him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise, a laudation, a song of praise. That's what it means. Okay, a song of praise. Praise, a song that recalls what God has done in the valley of Elah. It is audible. Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm quiet. I understand that. But praise, by its definition, is not quiet. It may not have to be loud, but it is audible by definition. It's audible. I'll show you even more here in a minute. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. See, that's why he's calling on God's word. I didn't defeat Goliath. These things didn't happen because of me. They came because of the word of God. Because God came upon me and he's going to fulfill his word. Okay. Now listen. The humble will hear it. That's how I know it's audible. Not only by definition of the word, he says that the humble will hear it and rejoice. Humble, brokenhearted, crushed in spirit. Those are two words he uses. And rejoice. I'm going to bypass that just for a moment. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Magnify, to make something appear larger, to increase. How do you make God larger? You can't. When you look through a telescope and you look at a planet, you don't make the planet bigger. You make it bigger in your eyes. Oh, magnify. This is what praise will do. If you will praise with him, if you'll praise, if you talk about the mighty and wonderful things God has done, he'll get bigger in your eyes. As David's going through, I believe, through the valley of Elah, he starts rehearsing what God has done. Oops, I've been having a fear of man. I haven't had my eyes on what God has done. But it's interesting as he does it. Let's exalt his name together. The other thing I understand about this if I will boast in the Lord, that the humble will hear it, and you magnify with me, and you exalt with me. You know what this tells me? You're not alone. The humble can't hear it if you're home by yourself. You can't exalt with me when you aren't with me. You can't exalt his name together when we're not together. I know you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You can stay at home because you're just a disobedient Christian. Ooh. You're a disobedient Christian when you stay home. Ooh, you ought to see all your looks right now, man. It's incredible. You can't exalt his name with me, right? You cannot magnify him with me if you aren't with me. That doesn't take a lot of Greek study or Hebrew or theology. That's just reading the text plain as it is. And what am I supposed to be doing with you? Rejoicing. The humble will rejoice with you. In fact, we find as soon as David gets this figured out, he comes to this, I'll say, epiphany, a re-recognition of God in his word. Who joins him? Chapter 22, verse 2. You ready? And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who is discontent, that is not content with their current circumstances, gathered to him. And he became the captain over them. Boy, that's just the kind of group I want to lead. And there were about 400 men. Who came to exalt God with him? Who came to magnify the Lord with him? The humble, the broken, the crushed in spirit came with him. They came to exalt, to honor the character, the power, the nature of God. What do we call that? There's praise and worship. Now we've moved, they've moved past that point. Let's celebrate what he's done. Now let's exalt. Let's bring honor to his character, to his power, to his rank. It means to increase the effect or intensity of the nature of God. How in the world do you increase? You don't increase the nature and character of God. You increase the nature and character as you see it. What happens? When I do it and you exalt with me, when we praise together, you could be in debt. You can be discontent, right? You can be distressed, but God will get bigger. Not just in what he does, but who he is will become bigger in your eyes as we do it together. Now, I think you need to listen to this for a moment. Some people only rejoice, only magnify, only exalt when they feel like it. Let me put it this way. When God did something for them, but that ain't what David's calling the people to do. He's saying, you're still in distress. You're still in debt. You're still in discontent. You magnify the Lord with me. See, only the immature praise when they feel like it. See, because I can praise with you. I can exalt with you when nothing's happened more in my life. Well, excuse me, there's always something that has happened in my life because I've been redeemed. So I always have, yeah. But what reminds me of that, so therefore I do it, is I've got to remind myself of God's word, what he's done for me. Now let's exalt his name together, and it doesn't matter if I'm broke, I'm discontent, or I'm under a lot of stress. I can rejoice with you. That's the humble, the Bible calls the humble. The humble, the broken, the crushed in spirit can praise with you. When you get fired, that's you. But then all of a sudden Joe over here gets blessed. Some way or another, God blesses him. He has a new grandbaby. That's a blessing. Whatever it is, don't think of it just as money. God speaks to them and just the word, they come to you and they go, man, you should, by God saying this in the Bible. And you go, man, God ain't spoke to me in 6 months. I'm reading the Bible, it's as dry as a bone. You know what? The humble, the broken, the contrite can be in that place of distress, that place of wilderness, but they can rejoice with you. They can exalt his name together. Why can they do that? What makes these humble people, and David at this point, be able to do this while he's still being chased by Saul? He's doing this alone to start with, but he knew he shouldn't stay there. So he calls those to do it with him. Why can they do that? Because, and this comes right out of our verse, because they know that even though the many, many are the afflictions of the wicked, write a book entitled that. Many are the afflictions of the wicked, and see how much it's, or excuse me, of the righteous, and see how much that sells. I guarantee you it won't sell very many. They understood that even though that is true, their lives are in God's hands. That's the humble know that. The humble can do this because they trust in God's word, even in distress, debt, and discontentment. When it's not, the situation's not how you want it, they still trust in the word of God, not a situation. How can David in this case and those same humble people praise? Because they fear God. That is, they acknowledge the greatness, power, and the sovereign rule of God. That's how you can still praise Him. When you're not pleased with your discontent, you're not happy with your situation, when the debt's there, when all the other life is stressful, you can praise Him, you can worship Him when you understand He is still the sovereign ruler. They can bomb Syria. The stock market can drop out. The housing construction market can flip upside down, so now you're major in debt. God is still the sovereign ruler. David begins to understand as he travels through that valley. Oh, I'm afraid of God. I'm on the... Wait a minute. You set this up. Wait a minute. I got Goliath's sword in my pocket and I'm right here again? Oh, God, you're greater. You're greater than my fears. You're greater than the circumstances I put myself into. I got to the point where I had to be framed, I had to frame to be a lunatic. And here I am. I thought when I ran to Gath, that was just my foolishness. It was. But God's bigger than your fears and your foolishness. When you find yourself afraid of one of those things on that list, and by the way, you go further down that list, there are much more personal things. When you find yourself in fear, you need to remind yourself of the Word of God. You ready? But you won't feel like it. You'd rather run to Gath. Let me put it in little practical terms. I'd rather turn on the TV and forget my problems and whatever's on I watch. I run to the wicked. I hate to tell you, I'm not saying TV's of the devil, but 90% of the programming is. Okay, I'm sorry. I guess that makes me a legalist or either just practical, one of the two. You're going to feel like something else. Go to the Word of God. Remind yourself of what God says in it. And then gather with others who will exalt His name together. That will unite with you. And I'm talking about the greatness of God. Here's a tendency you will have, though, just like everybody else. Let me tell you about my problems, Kathy. Would you just cry and weep with me and admit that I'm so right, that my problems are just so big? I'm going to be honest. I want you to come with me and tell me how my problems are, and I'm justified in feeling this way. But it says, instead, get with people who will make God bigger, not your problem bigger. I'm sorry, again, I think most of counseling in our culture is talking about the problem as it gets bigger, and then we finally blame your mother. Or some other traumatic event in your life. I hate to tell you, God was there in the traumatic event. He was there when you were making bad decisions because of that tragic event. You need to get with people who will get you in the Word, magnify His name, exalt His name, praise who He is, honor His word, bless the Lord together. That's how you get out of fear. What cast out fear? No, not love. Perfect love. What's the only perfect love you and I know of? God Himself. He is the only. So wait a minute. Love doesn't mean I looked at my wife who loves me a lot. My grandkids who love me. That kind of love's great, but it don't cast out all fear. I can look at my grandson and be fearful. Oh my gosh, what kind of future that government's going to do for my kid? But when I look to the perfect love, to God Himself, to the cross, to the Word of God, that cast out fear. Our world operates on fear. And as I looked at the survey, it depends on who is in charge. Who they thought was in charge, okay? Who we think is in charge, and what the media says about those in charge. can manipulate our fears. If I just look at the survey, okay? But wait a minute. What if I spent more time in the Word of God than I did in the news? And that includes news you get on Facebook, Twitter, text from a friend. What if you spent that time in the Word? You would recognize when we bombed Syria, ooh, I can see that in the Bible. I know you don't think you can, but you can. When there's economic, ooh, God, man, I'm glad to see you're in charge. One will stir your faith to the point you recognize that he is still the sovereign ruler over Saul or Achish, over all those things, and you'll go, oh, ho, ho, come with me to a cave, Bob, and let us exalt his name. In a cave, we'll exalt his name, not in the palace, not even in a house. In a cave, let us exalt his name together. Please stand. God, I thank you that first for your word, because I find you there and I find my trust in you and your word. I thank you, God, that you've given us. Right here, we can hold it in our hands, the tool needed to overcome fear, because it is a book written of you. And you, the perfect love, cast out all fear. Father, I thank you that I can always praise you for your redemption. Even if I've lied for food, manipulated people, you have still redeemed me. God be glorified as we recognize your sovereign rule. Through your word we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.